I would love to do that. I would absolutely love to do that. I always enjoy talking to you, and the little times that we've have spent a little time talking together, I always really enjoy it. You're great at what you do too. I just admire the job that you do. I know I was a theater, film, and television major, so I was around the business enough to know what it takes to do the kind of thing you do, and it's tough. Like, you're really quick on your feet, and I can only imagine how much time you spend just prepping for things, having to be quick on your feet, and then editing things and following up with them as well.
Right. Oh, so that's really sweet. I really appreciate that. Like, that means
a lot. I mean that. You're really talented at it. I know how hard it is, and that making it look easy is one of the hardest things there is. Anybody listening is probably like, he's just riffing, you know, off the top of his head, which you're good at too. But I know it takes a lot of work behind the scenes as well.
You hit me up after we were talking about the Morro Bay lotto situation. And about 10 years ago, somebody won like $125 million at a barbershop. And now this person, $699.8 million. I mean, we're talking about just like out off the charts money. I mean, how do
$700 million.
Yeah. That's wild.
And what's the payout? So after if you do the one-time payout,
I think it's around a little less, like around half or less than half. Or I mean, at some point, I still would do the payout. I mean, would you? Would you do the payout?
I would do the payout. I mean, when you're talking that kind of money, it's almost like, you know, I mean, it's like you've got a 16-ounce cup of water and you've got 48 ounces, you know. I mean, there's just only so much you can fit in it. So how much do you need, you know?
Well, right, because also you could just put some of this money in even conservative and slow-moving investments and just do fine with it, I'm guessing.
Well, why do you even need to do that if you've got $200 million?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, aren't you kind of done at that point? Unless you want to, you know, I mean, unless you want to start companies, unless you want to buy an island, you know, unless you want to compete with Elon Musk to see if you can beat him Mars. Before him, you know, what else do you need money for?
How far do you go with hooking up your family? I mean, is it like all family, cousins, aunts, uncles, second cousins, friends, old friends, new friends? Like, how far do you go? Have you thought about that? And how far would you go? Let's say you come into $700 million in the lotto.
I think it's really tricky to draw a line. I mean, there's a couple of ways to look at it. You could say, I'm not going to share this with anybody. I mean, it's certainly equitable if you just don't give anybody anything, right?
Yeah.
But why would you want to do that? You've got $300, $350 million sitting around, $200 million, however much it is. It's a lot of money. It's more than you're ever going to need in your lifetime and your family's ever going to need.
Yeah.
So it feels like it would be really stingy to not share it. So as soon as you decide to share it, you've now created the problem for yourself of who do you share with and how much of it do you share?
Do you give them cash, or do you feel what their needs are, like you buy them a house? You know what I mean? Like, ay, ay, ay.
Well, it gets into all kind of moral things too, because if you have family members that you know for a fact may do things with the money that might not be healthy, you know, you might be tempted to put it in some sort of a trust for them.
Right.
But now you're making moral decisions on behalf of people and you're making judgments, and that could create all kinds of bad blood. And then another thing to consider is, what about people that are already doing well financially? So let's say you've got two siblings and one of them is, you know, doing really well financially and the other one is strapped. Do you give them the same amount?
No.
And,
but that's a good question. No. That's a fair question. I would say no. What do you think?
I think if you... I mean, it's hard. It's so hard to say, because I think if you don't, you open yourself up to offending people, right?
You really do.
Because you might have the guy going, boy, I worked hard and did well for myself, and now, you know, my brother's punishing me because he's not giving me the same amount as my sibling. So I don't know. I think it just opens up a rat's nest of potential for bad blood and for people being, you know, kind of annoyed that they didn't get what somebody else got.
Okay, here's what I do. I think I would, if I had siblings or nephews, nieces, whatever, and I was going to give gift cash, I would make it the same across the board, and it would be nice, it would be a lot, but it would be modest. But then if there was like, okay, my sister I know needs a new house, she's struggling, let's get her a bigger house, blah, 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 I would make some sort of trust or put somebody in charge of it, a lawyer, and say, this is what you give to them. I just want them to get a house. I just want, you know what I mean? Maybe that's maybe that's a way to do it.
So you would give all of your siblings the same amount on the surface?
I would gift a certain amount in cash and say, do what you want with it. Let's say it's $100,000, right? And that would please everyone. But then let's say, you know, this sister,
Adam, you got $300 million. You're giving me $100,000.
Oh, see, that's the thing. Everyone's going to say that. You're right. I mean, I was talking to the dude from Morro Bay, the barbershop, and the guy who won $125 million, he'll come through and sometimes go to that barbershop. And I joked with Mike, I was talking to him. I said, I joked with the dude and I said, what does he, you know, does he give you a good tip? And he goes, yeah, he gives $100. And I go, there you go. That's cool. And he's like, yeah, some people will be like, he only left you $100.
I don't know. I mean, that's the first place where you have a challenge, I think, is the amount.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you've got, it's like Adam's got $300 million. Adam just put $300 million in the bank. And now with Christmas time and I'm Adam's brother, like, what's he going to give me? $100,000? It's like, yeah, I'm grateful for $100,000. But, dude, you've got $300
million? Yeah.
And I got $100,000?
Do you just have to resign that all of your relationships are going to change in your life, and most of them maybe not for the better?
Everything. I mean, isn't that usually the case with big lottery winners?
Yep.
Don't a lot of them end up like kind of destitute and broke and divorced and unhappy?
Yeah, I mean, even like the statistic, when you read down, like, 4 times more likely to be a victim of homicide, 4 times more likely to be convicted of drunk driving, you double the amount of times you can fall into a gambling addiction. Like, I mean, there's all these things that that befall you, or can at least. But here's the thing. Even beyond all those stats, I'm still willing to try it out. I'll try it and see if it happens.
I'm going to buy a lottery ticket and celebrate when I lose. Because, you know, given those statistics you just talked about, it sounds like there's cause for celebration when you lose the lottery. I don't know. I think my philosophy is that when I've seen this in business too, like when you people in business, for example, think that if you get a big investment, it solves all your problems. It doesn't. It makes you a bigger version of what you already are. So I think that's what happens with the lottery. So if someone's got dysfunction in their life, they've got unhappiness, they've got addiction, any of those kinds of things, mm-hmm. you dump a bunch of money into it, you're going to have a bigger version of whatever that thing already is.
That's so profound. That's really smart. Yeah.
And I think in a lot of cases, that bigger version is something, you know, pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I loved all the advice that you were giving to the person that won. I think I would add to that, like, get yourself in therapy immediately.
Yeah. True that. Good point. That's like, so good. So glad you texted me on this. What have you been into business wise? What are you working on lately? What's been Blake all about?
You know, I left Mindbody a few years ago, and my most recent thing is I'm working on a company called Lightworker, and we have a machine that blasts yoga mats with UV light and kills all the viruses and bacteria and you know, all the bad funky smell off the yoga mat. So it's kind of staying in the same realm. I love that industry. I love the wellness industry and the yoga industry, and you know, they're struggling right now after COVID, and about 25% of them or so went out of business, and they're trying to get back to those 2018 numbers. And so this is a machine that they can put in their lobby. It helps get rid of all of the funk and smell and viruses and gnarly stuff off the yoga mat. So
yeah, perfect for right now. It's like the great mix of like, hey, yeah, we want to get back together and get in person to do this, but hey, we can, you know, disinfect or clean or whatever the word you use. That's really neat. Cool.
Yeah, it's a whole new world. We took a machine that a guy down in Los Olivos invented about 10 years ago called Matsana. And then I worked with Peter Stereos, who is the founder of Manduka, the biggest yoga mat company in the world. And Peter helped redesign the machine. So we kind of reinvented the machine, rebranded it. We call it the Lightworker. And now it's this beautiful kind of fun machine that you can send your yoga mat through after you go to class. So that's what I've been working on lately, is putting a lot of time and energy and love into that and trying to help that industry rebound.
Yeah, really perfect after COVID. I mean, because remember at the beginning of that, we were like washing our you know, groceries at the door before they came in. I mean, we were crazy. We didn't know. But, you know, I mean,
no.
It was crazy.
I was wiping my groceries down with alcohol.
Yeah.
Remember? And we were supposed to sing Happy Birthday twice while we washed our hands with soap and water. I don't know what happened to that.
I know, yeah. Well, I mean, I've always been kind of a germaphobe, but I mean, after the vaccine, it's like, and I think a lot of people look at, after the vaccine, you know, you see the numbers, what they are. It's just like, you get vaccinated, you do what you can. And if you don't want to get vaccinated, I mean, we're seeing a lot right now with like mandates and Southwest Airlines and the government, whatever, you know, you're free to, you know, you got to be free to do what you want to do, but you know, I feel vaccinated, I feel protected. So it's like, we got to move on.
Yeah. Oh, I think so too. Yeah. Personal philosophy, I think, has so much to do with a lot of the politics we see in this thing. Is some of us just have, you know, are more risk averse. Some of us are more willing to take risks. Some of us have sort of a live and let live philosophy. You know, I think that's what we're seeing with a lot of these, is just different philosophies on life. And it's getting concentrated into, you know, into these other issues with the vaccine and masks and so on. But I think a lot of it comes down to personal philosophy. And I'm with you. I mean, you know, there's only so much that we can live in fear, and then we need to just get out there and get back to living, get back to life. Uh-huh. And there's risks in everything.
Sure.
There's risks in everything. So.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, look at the stats about getting into a car, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, we know who the most at-risk demographics are with the virus too. And I've always felt like those are the people that really need to be protected the most, and deserve the most protection from all of us, you know, cause it's not an indiscriminate virus, you know, it's pretty particular about who it kills. Although there's exceptions to that too.
Sure.
And completely understand, you know, even young, healthy people having concerns and fears about it.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Oh man. I always love talking to you, Blake. What great conversation we have.
Yeah, you too. Great talking to you, Adam.
I'm going to connect again with you, especially when things come up, and just, you know, without somebody sitting in the chair across from me, I'll just have to bounce some things off you from here and there. If you're down.
I would love to. I'd love to do that. I've got something to say about just about everything.
I love it. If people want to zap their yoga mats, or they have a yoga place, what do you call it? Like a yogi dojo, yogi center? What do you call this place?
Yoga studio. Yeah.
If you've got a yoga studio, want to put this, the light worker, how do people find you?
Lightworkeruv.com is our website. Lightworkeruv.com. And you can find everything you need to know about it there.
Well, cool, man. Thanks for being up and at 'em in the morning.
Yeah. Hey, always. I really appreciate you, Adam. Thanks for being there.